Oscar goes to...
And the winner is...
And the Oscar goes to...
The winner is...
The Oscar goes to...
MMOW's Oscar Race Update.
And we're back. Welcome once again to another episode of Mike, and Oscar. One more Oscar Race Update because we had some more... Big precursor news coming out.
It's like the biggest week ever.
Remember that Lamb Chop? This is the song that never...
Right.
This is the season that never
Oh,
ends.
Jesus, yeah. I'm glad for that parody. No, you're right. It is just constant this week. And we had the Globes.
Yes.
We had the Guilds.
Yes.
And it was like seven Guilds.
Yes.
I don't count very well, but I don't count very high. But it was
too
a lot of
Too many parts of a movie. Way
and
too many parts of a movie.
There was like aftershock from the Globes.
Yes.
And now we have Critics' Choice coming up. And we have BAFTAs coming out today.
Yes, and that's why we're recording this on the 9th and early this morning at 2:30 Eastern Standard Time. I was up late watching the BAFTA Awards for nominations roll out, and we have all those. We're going to go over them today in this episode. I don't sleep. And also, well, I do sleep just during normal hours when people actually do productive things. And the other thing we have, like you said, is Critics' Choice. We're going to do our predictions today. How I approach these Critics' Choice predictions, I will say. Now, like, Golden Globe was, like, basically pissing into the wind. It was, like, a total shot in the dark because nobody knows what the HFPA is going to do in any given year.
Right.
So I tried to actually take educated guesses there. These Critics' Choice predictions, I am 100% going by heart.
By like, heart?
Yeah,
interesting.
That's basically, like, my tiebreaker here of, like,
because
what I want to see.
Every movie that we review, we, like, break down Metascore,
right.
Rotten Tomatoes, whatever other scores we do, there's a lot of numbers involved.
Sure.
Again, not my strong suit. But we break down numbers, and we could go with numbers.
Right. And that's what I usually reserve for my Oscars picks and what I'm going to do. Make those like more mathematical and have sense and put reasoning behind them. But here, I definitely pick some things that I just want to see.
You just want to see stir up some shit, or you want to see...
Yes, is the answer to
both.
Either of those questions.
Okay, cool.
So let's start off. Mike, give us a little background here about what we're going to be watching in the Critics' Choice come Sunday and what went on with the BAFTAs and whatnot today.
Yes, the Critics' Choice Awards air on the CW Network. We're going to be watching the CW Network this Sunday night, January 13th, from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. It is hosted by Set It Up. Is that the movie? Set It Up star,
yes.
Taye Diggs.
Yes.
He was awesome in that. We liked him in that. The British Academy of Film and Television Awards, aka the BAFTAs, they will air Sunday, February 10th. On BBC One, and they will be hosted once again by Joanna Lumley from Absolutely Fabulous fame, Wolf of Wall Street, Corpse Bride, Ella Enchanted, or some other IMDb highlights from her. She was funny last year. I'm sure she'll do so again. Very British.
Yes.
Awesomely British.
Absolutely Fabulous.
My kind of British.
Show as well, yeah.
Now, Michael, I agree with how the BAFTAs label their awards.
Yes.
I wrote this down. You like
that.
My setup there?
I did.
Make it sound colloquial enough?
Good. Yeah.
This year's broadcast is called the 2018 BAFTAs.
Sure.
It's happening in 2019.
This has come up so many times as an issue between us.
We do. You naturally see 2019 Oscars from the films of the 2018 year,
yes,
as something that's sensible to you. Now, you're a lawyer. You have a more of an open mind for discourse and just general living than
mayhem,
I do.
Yes.
Well, mayhem. But I, like, for me, it bothers me. It always bothers me. 2018 films should be in the 2018 Oscars. I don't care when they air it.
Let me break this down for you real quick. You ever collect basketball cards when you were a kid?
Yes.
You ever look at the back on the stats with all the stats in
yes.
the basketball card? You ever see the seasons?
Right.
You ever notice how the seasons
it's
for
dash.
Basketball season? Right. It's always two seasons because it's the overlap. So that's why my approach is just take every Oscar show and name it. If this year's is going to be taking place in 19, it's covering the 18 film. These are the 18-19 Oscars.
That makes sense to me. If
right.
I get a hyphen without spaces between the numbers, then I'm happy. Then I get
But you can't go by just the 2019
Oscars.
If you
say 2019 Oscars, I'm thinking next year's movies. And I'm like, what's nominated for that?
I'll tell you who's on your side is Wikipedia. Because we've gotten lost looking at wrong years.
Well, that's the thing.
Typing
like,
in, yeah.
Wikipedia, even with the Oscars, they call it the 2018 Oscars this year.
Right.
They're not going to call it the 2019 Oscars.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on. And once again, the Academy should just listen to us. It's basically our thesis for every new episode going forward, I think, is kind of what we're going to... It's not Reality Sucks, Watch Movies Without... It's Mike, and Oscar. Just listen to us. We're our gospel.
Now, so by those rationale, which one of us... By those rationales, which one of us should like the metric system more?
I have no idea.
Just wondering because it's the BAFTAs.
Yes.
It's
yes.
a very so weird joke.
Going by metric.
I like math jokes.
As opposed
at the
to
top
feet,
of the
meters,
show
and feet. But is it meters with the RE at the end? It doesn't matter.
Like
anyway.
If somebody tells you they're 2.3 meters tall.
Right.
We're lost.
No, I no don't idea. Listen to them. I yell at them for confusing me. Yeah.
They could be as tall as a child, a small little child.
Could be a flagpole.
I have no
yeah,
idea.
Yeah, who the fuck? I mean, what are you? 2.3 meters.
No idea. But if somebody tells me they weigh, what do they weigh in?
Kilograms?
Grams.
Yeah.
Not liters, that's water.
It's a measure of volume,
every
yes.
person across the pond right now, we do have fans across the pond, laughing at us, mm-hmm. as you should be. As you should be. Now, let me just say something. This is a hot take.
Okay.
The meter system.
You've done well with them so far.
The metric system makes so much more sense than all our 12s bullshit.
Oh, yeah. It's a base 10 system.
It's a base 10 yeah. system. This is all 12s. It makes so much more sense over there, but whatever.
I can't wait. There's got to be people that just listening to this that are just smacking their foreheads. Being
they're
like,
shutting us off.
There's so many other things I could be doing.
The most loyal fans are sticking with us here.
And we thank you for that. And we're going to reward you now. By going category by category through both the BAFTA nominations and the Critics' Choice predictions that we're going to be doing. We're not going to be predicting the BAFTA noms because, again, we tried our hand with that with the Golden Globes. It didn't work out so well. And BAFTAs are further down the line. We may do that
further down the line. Maybe, you know, the MMO Weekly
right.
leading up to it.
Could see what happens there. But let's start at the top, like we always do, the biggest ones first in terms of predictions and going over them. We'll start with the BAFTA Award for Best Film, Michael.
Black Klansman, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star Is Born. Michael, do you think they have their hand on the pulse of the five top contenders?
It's funny because I think Black Klansman is the one that's done the most and gained the most as a Best Picture contender the last 48 hours in this race, mm-hmm. which is weird because it really has done nothing. It's just kind of stood still while everything else went nuts.
Yeah, everybody's like, Spike Lee, that's a pretty darn good movie.
Right.
And everybody's good in it and the movie's well made, yeah.
Like, the Globes overall may have hurt A Star Is Born and maybe also end up hurting Bohemian Rhapsody because of the backlash. The BAFTAs don't think Bo Rap is a serious Best Picture contender. It's not nominated here for
here,
Best Film.
We'll see it in a minute.
Right, but sure. It does make it other categories in the BAFTAs, but not Best Film.
Right.
Black Panther also took quite a hit.
They took a huge hit today. Did it not get to England, Black Panther?
I would have thought at some point it would have had its own moment in like these precursor awards series,
strange.
But nothing has happened so far. It may be out of the running for any kind of win for Best Picture now. It may
it
not
is
be a
lauded
contender.
Over here.
Yeah. It's shocking. It's a popular film, Best Picture, fourth highest grossing film of all time.
You wonderful
nothing.
British. Just let us know. Do you not get Black Panther? I don't know.
It's a wide open field for Best Picture. These are probably the five that'll get the preferential balloting treatment. I can't see a hands-down winner out of them, and I think we're in for another Shape of Water-type victory where a compromise candidate rides the second and third place votes all the way to an eventual win. I hope that means Black Klansmen are the favorite, but I think it may mean Green Book.
I think it may mean Green Book, too. That's a good point. All right, so outstanding British film, Michael, at the BAFTAs. We have Beast, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favourite, McQueen, Stan and Ollie. You were never really here. Now, this category becomes kind of important because Bohemian Rhapsody's here.
Yes.
Now, I'm just sure in terms of perception for our Academy, which will vote for the Oscar winner after this award show goes down.
Sure.
If they see Bohemian Rhapsody winning Best Outstanding British Film or Outstanding British Film, they may say, all right, it won something. We're still feeling good about it. And maybe that wins as the compromise candidate this year with the preferential balloting
sure.
math.
But my question would be, then why didn't make the cut? If it's a British film, why doesn't it make the cut for Best Film in the British award show?
Well, you're right. I mean, maybe the BAFTAs don't think it's one of the top 10 movies of the year, but I think the Academy could still have that perception hold. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If it wins, it's one of the few winners.
Especially if it upsets The Favorite here, yeah. I'm not sure The Favorite really is being taken seriously anymore as a Best Picture contender of those five we just talked about.
Well, it needs a big day at BAFTA.
Yeah, if it loses here to Bo Rap, you'd think it's going to lose footing in the Best Picture race
right.
overall. And maybe that does propel Bohemian Rhapsody over The Favorite. And like you said, maybe that does propel it into a compromise candidate situation. I just don't understand why, obviously, they already think The Favorite's a better picture because they put The Favorite in the Best Film category and they reserve Bo Rap for only this category, whereas The Favorite's in both.
I'm going to just debut another theory here. I'm not going out on a limb. I think with all the political strife, everything going on out there, it's a tough world that we live in nowadays. The Favorite's a tough watch. A Star is Born's a tough watch. Roma's a tough watch. People want happy movies. Bohemian Rhapsody's happy. Green Book, they are happy movies.
So here, take enjoyment in the movie where the guy dies of AIDS.
But they're happy movies. They're celebrating his life, but it's a happy, good time.
I felt good about myself watching that man perish.
It ends with a song. I won't spoil it, but there's a song at the end.
Yes, I'm poking
right.
fun.
I guess The Star is Born. Yeah. There's a song at the end, too, but Gaga makes you cry. All right, sure. Here we go. The Critics' Choice Awards for Best Picture, Michael.
Yeah, we got Black Panther, Black Klansman, The Favorite, First Man, Green Book, If Beale Street Could Talk, Mary Poppins Returns, Roma, A Star Is Born, and Vice. This feels like a good time to remind people that Critics' Choice is so beloved because there's so many categories that are unique to the Critics' Choice.
They make no choices.
And they also just invite in every contender, it seems like, for every category.
Right, names that stick out here. First Man, If Beale Street Can Talk, Mary Poppins Returns, and Vice. Kind of different. Well, Vice was that. Were they in the bathrooms just now? What did you just say 2 minutes ago?
Something about a scavenger hunt.
Okay, so we just scrolled up and it's not in Best British Film or Best Film, Vice.
Well, which it's is not a British film, so.
You're good. I'm glad. Right. And it's not in Best Film either. So, all right, so those are the kind of the other movies. Do we think this is the Best Picture 10?
What's missing? Can you point out any glaring omission? I mean, maybe it's not going to be 10 at the end of the day, but...
Eighth Grade. No, this feels like it. Crazy Rich Asians.
Crazy Rich Asians, maybe.
A Quiet
Place. Poppins Returns could be on its way out. Yeah, I mean, you could... Anything that's not there isn't going to win Best Picture anyway, I think, at this point. I think Best Picture, we have our 4/5, like we just talked about, serious contenders.
Oh, and Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right, Bohemian Rhapsody could be there. It depends.
That could win.
Yeah, I mean, it's
gaining momentum.
It's gonna depend on what happens, how people react to the Golden Globes.
Fixes in.
God, that can't win. Oh, what's your prick, Mike? Best picture.
Roma. Roma's gonna win. Trump's gonna build a wall, and then Roma's gonna win by a landslide.
You've been pitching that theory.
That's another theory.
In the same year, I hope that second part doesn't happen. But I also pick Roma. It leads the pack right now with 18 wins amongst critics groups. The next closest leader amongst critics groups to reward Best Picture is The Favorite's 8 wins. Those numbers according to nextbestpicture.com. So let's move on here to Best Action Movie at the Critics' Choice.
Avengers: Infinity War, Black Panther, Deadpool 2, Mission Impossible, Fallout, Ready Player One, and Widows. We're very angry about that Widows nomination because it's not a fucking action movie. Put Widows in Best Picture. Don't let it sneak over Black Panther or Avengers Infinity War here.
Can't believe that.
I mean, it's just like taking a great T-bone steak and a veggie burger. A veggie burger is nutritious. It's worthy. It's a good thing to eat. It makes you a healthier person. Widows is good for the soul.
Yeah.
Even though it's not a great movie in our opinion. But I want that, you know, that steak.
Right.
This is my steak eater category. Yeah. Give me the steak.
Yeah. Well, at least you got the probably our best action movie of the year getting a little recognition in MI Fallout. Wonder Woman was the winning woman last year in this category. You've heard Black Panther's name twice in the first two categories already because it has a stunning 11 nominations on the night for the Critics' Choice. And like we talked about up top, it's going to need a few wins here in some of these categories to substantiate any kind of Oscars momentum.
Yeah.
For what that's worth, though, my pick is going to be Mission Impossible Fallout.
It's probably the best action movie if they vote based on the genre.
Yeah, that's what I was torn between. But like I said, I went with heart as the tiebreaker.
Black Panther's nominated in Best Picture, so I'm going to pick Black Panther there. Critics' Choice Awards, Best Action Movie.
I'm fully prepared to start 0-for-8 in these big categories with my predictions, by the way.
Critics' Choice Best Comedy, Michael.
Crazy Rich Asians, Deadpool 2, The Death of Stalin, The Favorite, Game Night, and Sorry to Bother You. Mike, we have Best Comedy Movie here. We have Best Action Movie here at the Critics' Choice. Wouldn't it benefit the Oscars to have these types of categories as opposed to those obscure Best Popular Film?
Absolutely. Abso-freaking-lutely.
Why aren't they there?
Doesn't make sense. Now, if the Golden Globes people somehow get in charge of the Oscars and they put all the musicals in the drama and all the dramas in the musicals, then it might, you know, you might go cross-eyed. But here you do have The Favorite. It's funny, but it's a drama. We thought it was more of a drama. But otherwise, these nominees make sense. We love to see Sorry to Bother You get in recognition.
Yes.
Game Night's just a funny movie like that.
Mm-hmm.
Death of Stalin I don't get. And I'm a big Iannucci Veep guy. I'm a big In the Loop guy.
Still haven't seen it.
I did not love
it. I've seen it being a little polarized out there. You're not alone. There.
Anyway, my pick is Crazy Rich Asians.
I have the same thing. I think it's going to get at some kind of reward and have its moment in the sun here. I don't know if it's going to make any noise come Oscar Sunday, and I think it is one of those, like Black Panther, I think it deserves a moment
on its way. If it's winning Critics' Choice Awards and Ensemble Awards, Why isn't it a Best Picture? Everybody loves it. This, it's a 40-point higher popular film than Bohemian Rhapsody by every critical metric.
Yeah, it's kind of sad that this one got
this
a little lost.
This should be
by
the
Lisa.
One pushed yeah. ahead of Bohemian.
There should be a lot of pushed ahead of Bohemian Rhapsody, and of those, you could even count some in this category, Best Sci-Fi or Horror Movie.
Annihilation, Halloween, Hereditary, A Quiet Place, and Suspiria, Michael. Your pick.
Yeah, so this is where I said I'm picking with heart. Hereditary deserves
yes.
some recognition
yes.
at some point along the way if Toni Collette's chances are really done by Oscar Sunday. I don't even know if I think it's the best horror movie of the year.
Because we did The Scaries, which was our horror movie right. award show. Ton of fun. A lot of you listened to it in October, and you said Halloween was your favorite horror
sure,
movie.
Sure, absolutely my favorite. So again, I don't know if that means my best or if I'm just that incredibly biased and don't care, but Hereditary deserves some recognition. God. I'm picking it here. I don't expect it to win, but I'd like to see it.
I just rewatched it again. We're not doing a category overview of this, maybe at the Mike
we
Mike
should.
And Oscars, yeah. but we're not doing a category overview episode, so I will spoil everything and say that Hereditary is my best horror movie of the year.
I think we have There's done no... basically a category review of the. We have OSPs on every single one of those.
Well,
I'm
right.
Sure.
Yeah. So, but we're not going to do another one. We're trying to keep our right. favorites behind closed doors here. But Michael, Hereditary is the best of these in my
Good.
Opinion as well. I agree with you. And that note, I'm picking A Quiet Place
right. because that's the one that's gotten of this category yeah. the most critical acclaim. Again, I'll bring up, I just brought it up in our last Golden Globes recap show. Annihilation has been forgotten. I think people don't even remember that it's a 2018 film.
Visual effects, cinematography, we thought it had a chance. Score, original score
sure.
at the end of the day. It's not gotten momentum in any of those areas. I wonder if it came on Netflix like we thought it was going to because it was European
sure.
Netflix. And that's why we reviewed it.
Yeah.
We saw it in theaters. It was European Netflix. We had it on a Netflix quarterly, a big review. We got in a big argument about what it all means.
Yeah.
And never came
nothing,
out
nothing,
American
nothing
Netflix.
Came out of it. But all that said, if Halloween wins this, my work as a critic will be done.
Yeah.
I'll be happy.
No, your work, it would just be getting started.
It's crescendo.
It's like an origin story.
Well, there'll be nowhere to go but down, let's say.
Okay, maybe. But your influence would be at its peak.
That's right.
Michael BAFTA's Best Director.
We have Spike Lee for BlacKkKlansman. Pavel Polakowski for Cold War gets
wow.
in there. Yorgos Lanthimos does get his name read for The Favorite. Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. And Bradley Cooper for A Star Is Born.
So Yorgos needs to win here if he's going to get back into the best five for Oscar nominations.
Totally possible, because if ever The Favorite was going to sweep some award show, it's going to be the BAFTAs.
Yeah, but he won't win here before he gets... before the nominations come out. So it's a moot point. February 10th and January 22nd. So I say stupid things on air, Michael. Michael, Cooper and Cuarón made history with these nominations. In an article written by Alex Rittman at The Hollywood Reporter, he said A Star Is Burned.
Yeah,
or
is.
A Star
Seriously,
Is Born.
It's burning out there in the sky.
Earned 7 nominations, 5 of which were for Cooper across 5 disciplines. Film, actor, director, adapted screenplay, original music, Michael. And then Cuarón... outshines him. He
Same year.
7 nominations for Roma, and 6 of those belong to Cuarón. Best film, director, original screenplay, cinematography, editing, film not in an English language.
Man, just 72 hours ago from right now, we were thinking about maybe A Star Is Born is going to sweep actor, actress, picture, director, possibly. And now, oh boy, he might be on life support for a lot of categories outside of song.
Yeah, it's not winning here. Cuarón's going to win everywhere, right? Anyway, Critics' Choice, Best Director, Damien Chazelle, First Man, Bradley Cooper, A Star Is Born, Alfonso Cuarón, Roma, Peter Farrelly, Green Book, Yorgos Lanthimos, The Favourite, Spike Lee, BlacKkKlansman, Adam McKay, Vice. Essentially, we're adding Damien Chazelle and Adam McKay to the BAFTA list. Mike, your pick here.
I really wanted to pick Chazelle because I think he's very underrated for the work he did.
Yeah.
I think First Man in general is just being underrated.
Do you think they'll zig when everybody else has zagged?
I don't. If anyone's gonna, it should be the critics, right? That like to show off how
yeah.
smart they are and
but
how in tune they are with the movies. And...
associations, though. I know this is the broadcast
right.
for critics, but the associations are all for Cuarón.
Heavily went Cuarón, and that's why I picked Cuarón.
Me too.
Exact same reason.
I pick him as well. Michael, Best Actress.
The BAFTA has Glenn Close making the cut for The Wife, Lady Gaga, A Star Is Born, Melissa McCarthy for Can You Ever Forgive Me, Olivia Colman for The Favorite. And Viola Davis was the 5th.
Emily Blunt or Viola Davis? You would be happier with Viola Davis or Emily Blunt?
Here, just curious. Here for the BAFTAs, absolutely. Well, are you talking about for the Oscars? Or
oh, for the BAFTAs, Emily Blunt should be here. You're appalled.
I'm thrilled she's not thrilled? Because it gives Toni Collette right now, her Oscar chances, they've had the service. She's been put in the casket, and the casket's in the hole. Yeah. They just haven't nailed it shut yet.
Yeah.
So there's a chance she could rise from the dead here. I think Viola Davis being here for the BAFTAs and Emily Blunt not, I think that may knock Emily Blunt out of the Best Actress race altogether.
Yeah, she's losing a lot of momentum. People are seeing Mary Poppins a lot, and they're realizing it's not a shoo-in. So now she's up in the mix with Yalitza, with Viola, with Toni, with all these great performances this year. So I would agree. I wouldn't be upset with Viola Davis. At the end of the day, it's like a worthy performance. Like, it's a top 10, probably, in my opinion.
Yeah, but there seems to be only one slot left for the Best Actress race in general, because McCarthy's nomination here suggests to me that she's probably the fourth member now.
But that, like, McCarthy, to me, is a very good performance. It's a worthy performance. I just don't think it's a special performance. The special performances are Coleman, Gaga, Close, and Collette.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I also think that by making the BAFTA noms here, winning the Globes in such an upset, being such a perennial favorite, I think Glenn Close may have just cemented her win for her first Oscar with this nomination.
Wow. That's a bold
call. That's my read, yeah.
Critics' Choice Best Actress, Mike, Yalitza Aparicio from Roma, Emily Blunt, Mary Poppins, Glenn Close, The Wife, Toni Collette, Hereditary, there she is.
Yes.
Olivia Colman, favorite, Lady Gaga, Stars Born, Melissa McCarthy, Forgive Me, which I ask you, and I abbreviate the title. My pick here... It has to be Toni Collette.
Yeah, fuck everybody. It's Toni
Collette.
Let's go.
Critics, throw her, get her back in.
Listen, there's reason to believe it. And that's why I say, yes, her Oscar chances are dead. But at the same time, that fifth slot is very wide open between Davis, Blunt, Collette, maybe a couple others, Aparicio, maybe a few others you could throw in there. She still is in second place amongst critic circles for most wins.
Who's in first place? Olivia Colman. Who has a Best Comedy Actress category where the Critics' Choice can give her that one? Olivia Colman. That's my rationale.
Yeah.
Thinking like they always, if you have another category, they'll give you it for that category and give somebody else, which is a good impulse. I think that's a, you know,
yeah, I don't good disagree. Intention, unless, right? Unless someone is such an, you know, prohibitive favorite.
They should win both.
Yeah,
but,
right.
I mean, but I do think it's a good intention when you have a close race.
Spread the love, yeah.
This is a close race. There is a wrong you can write broadcast Critics Association.
It's not over!
And hooray, let's throw the Hail Mary. Let's see if we got a chance.
Daughtry song that he once sang. And if I could think of another title of a Daughtry song that wasn't It's Not Over, I'd say it now to complete the punchline for misdirection. But I can't. But that's
you
it.
Quoted a Daughtry song.
It's not over.
Oh, that's terrible. That's a terrible song.
Straight out of 2010. Not good. Not good.
It's a bad song. Not Michael, good. Critics' Choice, Best Young Actor or Actress.
Elsie Fisher for Eighth Grade. Thomasin Harcourt-McKenzie for Leave No Trace. I think she might be just going by Thomasin McKenzie. I've seen that name everywhere. Ed Oxenbold for Wildlife. Millicent Simmons, or is it Simons, I think, for Quiet Place. Mm-hmm. Amanda Steinberg for The Hate U Give. And Sonny Soljic from Mid-90s. None of those names very easy to pronounce.
I'm picking Elsie Fisher here. I think that movie has the most award season momentum amongst this group.
That's
even
funny.
Though
we're seeing these a lot of this similar.
I wondered if I picked the best of that group. If I went with McKenzie, that's close. That's worthy. Stenberg is great. Soljic is. They're all. This is a hell of a category. Oxenbold was good. I just watched Wildlife.
For me, you hit on it in the lead there. It was for me between Elsie Fisher to Thomasin McKenzie. Millicent Simmons I could also see, although
she
might be carried only because people love critics especially love The Quiet Place so much that we saw them kind of bewildered by throughout the campaign here. I'm with you. I'll pick Elsie Fisher. I just think Eighth Grade is the most awards adjacent type movie out of those possibilities. Much like last year we saw with the Florida Project, the little girl there. True. She ended up winning, and the Florida Project was probably the most awards adjacent type movie of that category.
That's a tough call. Another tough call is the Rising Star Award from the BAFTAs. We have Jesse Buckley, Cynthia Erivo, Barry Keoghan or Kogan, Lakeith Stanfield, Letitia Wright. Michael, this is a great category.
I mean, personally, to pick between Lakeith Stanfield and Letitia Wright for me is impossible.
Lakeith Stanfield
is unbelievable.
Cynthia Erivo had a year. Widows and Bad Times, she's awesome in it. She saves both movies, really. I mean, in terms of performances, and maybe that's slightly a spoiler.
Yeah, a little bit. That's all right.
Barry Keoghan's great, but I'm thinking of last year he was great in Dunkirk and Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Sure.
Jesse Buckley from the movie Beast, she was awesome in that.
Yeah, a couple of our listeners specifically reached out to me a few times on Facebook, especially, and promoted Beast like it's crazy, and they think it's rewards worthy. Nice to see them getting paid dividends here.
It's
with
up
Critics'
there.
Choice.
A couple.
Or BAFTAs, I'm sorry. Yeah,
BAFTAs. A couple performances were awesome in that. Letitia Wright is probably the biggest breakout rising star, even though we loved Lakeith Stanfield's performance in terms of quality from Sorry to Bother You.
Probably true.
Cynthia Erivo might get a lot of love out there. To me, it's between the women here, Buckley, Erivo, and Wright. I'm picking Wright.
You don't have to pick anything. It's a BAFTA award. Go to Critics' Choice. Best Actress in a Comedy. You can pick these.
You got my pick for
BAFTA. Really invested in that.
We're in the Critics' Choice pick mode. Anyway, Best Actress in a Comedy. Emily Blunt, Mary Poppins Returns. Olivia Colman, The Favourite. Elsie Fisher, Eighth Grade. Rachel McAdams in Game Night. Charlize Theron, Tully. Constance Wu, Crazy Rich Asians. I'm picking the one that's in the other.
Yeah.
Olivia Colman.
I really, really wanted to pick Constance Wu because, again, I think Crazy Rich Asians is worthy and deserving of
Best
something.
Stare in a motion picture comedy.
I just can't. You can't get over. How do you vote against the role Coleman's on right now? Yeah. And she's only improved her stock, I think, with her speech at the Globes, and everybody loved her, and everybody loves her role in The Favorite, and she's awesome in that movie. And I just wonder if enough people, you know, are going to see that and think, maybe they overthink this category. Like, is The Favorite really a comedy, even though it's absolutely a dark comedy?
They could overthink the category and give it to the best comedian,
right,
in a way. I mean, you could totally do that. Probably. I don't know who's there's really no comedians here. This is all dramatic actors doing well in a comedy.
Game Night and Tully are probably more of a typical comedy than The Favorite is.
Tully's not funny.
Well, I think, all right, whatever. It's going to be Olivia Colman.
It's going to be Olivia Colman. Michael, Best Actor categories.
Lead actor for the BAFTAs, Bradley Cooper for A Star Is Born, Christian Bale for Vice, Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody, of course, Steve Coogan for Stan and Ollie, Viggo Mortensen for Green Book. Is Ethan Hawke's campaign over?
Ethan Hawke's in trouble like Toni Collette's in trouble.
It's so crazy how similar their campaigns have been. Next Best Picture has counted 53 critic precursor awards. 28 of them, or 53%, more than half, have gone to Hawke for Best Actor. Wow. And yet he's blanked here by the BAFTAs. He's blanked by the Golden Globes. It's going to be crazy to see him actually come through the ashes if he comes out with an Oscar nominee.
I wonder if it's just an obscure movie that just did not play out there.
Paul Schrader is a favorite. A lot of people know and respect him. I don't know.
I wonder if Cooper needs to secure a victory here, if he wants to matter come Oscar time, and this could be his last chance to get a boost. He does have the 5 noms.
Sure.
At this award show, so it seems like this Academy likes him, the British Academy. So this may be his here, and he needs this.
Sure does.
Right before they vote for the Oscar winner. So if not, Rami Malek probably takes it, I would say. The way
or
stars,
Bale. He or Bale.
Yeah, or Bale. Yeah, Bale can mount a real campaign here. I think, to me, it's like between Cooper and Malik, but I don't know. Might be Bale.
I think Bale's in that conversation, too, and I'm in good company because Sean Fennessy thinks it's a 3-way race,
you
too.
And your buddy Sean start a podcast. Anyway, Critics' Choice Award.
I've been trying.
Critics' Choice Award Best Actor, Christian Bale for Vice. There he is. Mm-hmm. Bradley Cooper, A Star Is Born, Willem Dafoe, Eternity's Gate, Ryan Gosling, First Man, Ethan Hawke, First Reformed.
There he is.
Rami Malek, Bohemian Rhapsody, Viggo Mortensen, Green Book, Michael.
Yeah, so with these awards and the BAFTA noms, we now have 4 actors that have each a Golden Globe, Critics' Choice, SAG, and BAFTA nom.
So we have a big
to
4.
Their names. Right, so we have Malek, Bale, Cooper, and Viggo. You think those are going to be 4 of the 5, for sure.
If the Oscars are right and wrongs, they're putting Ethan Hawke in there.
Sure, yeah, that would be the storyline.
But if they're going with a legacy pick, maybe Dafoe sneaks back in?
Could be. Look, as far as breaking down the big awards, if you're looking for a winner, Bale and Malek are the Golden Globe winners. Viggo's got the National Board of Review on his side. Cooper only has 3 wins on his resume.
John David Washington does have SAGs and Globes.
He's out there,
so maybe
too.
Maybe he's the 5th.
It's probably one of those two between...
Now, he is basically a carbon copy of his father.
Yes.
In real life.
Yes.
He talks exactly like his father. And then we watched that movie not knowing he was Denzel's son. Having seen 50 Denzel Washington movies out of like 51 on his filmography. So we didn't realize he was Denzel Washington's son. That's how good his performance is.
He also pulled off a very un-Denzel-y performance, I thought, in Black Klansman.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah. I loved him. I loved him in that movie. I'd love to see him here. For my pick, I'm going with Bale against all the critics' awards, which probably isn't wise for the critics' choice.
I'm going to go with Hawke. I think if they're going to make a final stand, it could be Ethan Hawke's last stand. We'll see.
Let's move on here. Best actor in a comedy.
Christian Bale, Vice, Jason Bateman, Game Night, Viggo Mortensen, Green Book, John C. Reilly, Stan and Ollie, Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool 2, Lakeith Stanfield, More Love Here, Sorry to Bother You.
Yeah, that warmed my heart to see. He was really appreciative of that. I follow him on Instagram.
Now there's
give a shout out there.
Yeah, there's two people in this category that are in the other category, Michael, at the Critics' Choice. That's Christian Bale and Viggo Mortensen. You are going with?
I'm going with Christian Bale.
Christian Bale. Yeah, me too. Even though I probably vote Viggo Mortensen above him, but there it is.
It's because you love all the food he was eating.
I love the Italian fat guy more than the evil fat guy performance. Anyway, supporting categories, Michael.
Yes, so reporting for the BAFTA noms, we have Amy Adams for Vice, Claire Foy for First Man, Emma Stone for The Favorite, Margot Robbie for Mary, Queen of Scots, and Rachel Weisz for The Favorite as well.
No, Regina King! Yeah. Did they seize Beale Street?
I don't know. Maybe it hasn't. I don't know. I don't know the explanation for that.
Well, this is fascinating, though. Now the Favorite actresses are kind of in the lead here, I would think. I know you still say Amy Adams. She did not get the nom at the Globes, who love her.
Yeah.
For years, loved Amy Adams. I don't think there's a ton to that performance. I don't think critics will go gaga over her. I think there's a lot. There's critical just catnip to these performances from The Favorite, Rachel Weisz, Emma Stone. Will they cannibalize each other, though, and let somebody else win?
That fifth nominee is really going to be something. I don't know how Regina King gets. I think she will, but I don't know. I don't know if there's precedent for someone missing out on BAFTA and SAG Awards on the eighth take and still getting in for the Oscars. I think personally she will. Just to go through the other noms here at the BAFTAs, Claire Foy now has BAFTA, Golden Globes, and Critics' Choice noms, so I think she makes the field. King won the Globe, didn't make BAFTA and SAG, like I just said. Robbie's popping up here at the BAFTAs. It may be a duel between she and King for that fifth Oscar spot. I can't believe I'm saying it, but how do you not go with Regina King?
But when Regina King is in, she wins.
Yeah.
And, I'm going to have a lot to say about that performance. I loved it. Michael, Critics' Choice Best Supporting Actress, Amy Adams for Vice, Claire Foy for First Man, Nicole Kidman, Boy Erased, Regina King, Beale Street, Emma Stone, and Rachel Weisz, The Favorite.
I'm picking Regina King again.
Me too.
Has anybody ever won the Golden Globe and another major precursor and not even been nominated for the Oscars?
We'll have to look. We have to do some homework. We got a lot of Oscar award shows to come in terms of, you know, the predictions game of it with MMO Weekly, etc., etc. We'll get those
it's
stats.
Such a bizarre year. The leader in the clubhouse for best actor, the second place winner for best actress, and the leader by far for supporting actress all have glaring holes in their resumes to suggest they may not even make the Oscars, never mind win. Oh,
these voting bodies are so weird this year. You're all so weird. Michael, BAFTA's supporting actor.
Adam Driver makes a return to the category for Black Clans. Mahershala Ali for Green Book, Richard E. Grant for Can You Ever Forgive Me, Sam Rockwell for Vice, which was a huge stunner, and Timothy Chalamet for Beautiful Boy. I think, again, we may have our field set here.
Yeah, no Michael B. Jordan love here. Driver gets back in. Sam Elliott is not in.
No.
Rockwell is in.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I think the Brits just love the idea of George W. Bush being portrayed as a sideshow clown.
And 3 foot shorter than he should be. You see him next to Dallas and Janney?
He looks short.
I'm short. You're not short. I'm a short.
Highly successful man, so he's got the last laugh over us. But
yeah, I don't know. It's a very strange Black Panther, again, no love at the BAFTAs. Best Supporting Actor, Critics' Choice, Michael, Mahershala Ali, Green Book, Timothy Chalamet, Beautiful Boy, Adam Driver, Black Klansman. I almost said Adam Driver, comma, Klansman.
Yeah, that would have been awkward. He wants a career change to really ruin his reputation.
Sam Elliott, A Star is Born. Richard E. Grant, Can You Ever Forgive Me? Michael B. Jordan, Black Panther.
So you hit my lead already up there. No Elliott in the BAFTAs, but his name does appear here in Critics' Choice. Grant, Ali, Chalamet, and surprisingly Driver all now share Globe, Critics' Choice, BAFTA, and SAG noms. So that's definitely four of the five, I think, that are in the Oscars race.
Wow.
Rockwell, who hasn't even won a single Critics' precursor, may be the default number five at this point after the BAFTA nom, even though he misses the Critics' Choice field.
He was nominated
for BAFTA and Globes.
It's just on basically the coattails of his win last year.
Yes.
Because that George W. Bush is a nice impression. He's in a very few scenes. It makes zero sense to me. Zero. He doesn't have an Oscar reel scene, period. I don't get it. My pick, is Richard E. Grant. Michael, your pick?
I'm going Ali again. Only two times since film year 2006. Now, not the 2006 award shows like we just talked about, but film year 2006. Only twice since have the Critics' Choice and Golden Globes have different supporting actor winners. Mm. And plus, I think Ali's going to end up winning the Oscar, especially if critics want to back off supporting Green Book as a movie, but still think it's awards worthy.
Michael, after your stat, I'm going to go with Mahershala.
Welcome aboard, brother.
I didn't know you did that stat. That's a good stat.
You did research.
And that's a good stat. I'm going to go Marshall. Michael, Critics' Choice Best Ensemble.
Yeah, because I stopped at 2006, though, because if you go past 2006, it's a mess.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a lot of, that's a picking and choosing your stats there. Best Ensemble for the Critics' Choice. You're locked in. You can't change it again. Black Panther, Crazy Rich Asians, The Favorite, Vice, and Widows. Boy, does Black Panther need this win.
Black Panther needs this here to stay alive. This is tough because Crazy Rich Asians has been winning ensemble awards. I'm gonna go with that as my pick. If I actually picked the best here, it's a toss up between Black Panther, The Favorite, and Crazy Rich Asians for me.
So three of the five.
Tough.
So I think what we're saying is Widows is probably distant fifth, right? For us?
Widows is at fifth. Vice is fourth. But, you know, like The Favorite, they got three that are just great performances. Yep. Maybe three of the best performances of the year. So I probably picked The Favorite. But the deep bench of Crazy Rich Asians and Black Panther, pretty good.
So that means The Widows is going to win, obviously, right? Since we're both so low on it. Probably. I wanted to, I can see it going. I picked Black Panther. I think I'm going to regret it. I don't think it's going to win, but I picked Black Panther. It needs a win. It needs badly to win something here.
It has to happen. Outstanding debut by a British writer, director, or producer at the BAFTAs, Michael.
You going to make me do this, or are you going to do it?
Okay. Apostasy, Daniel Coco Tajillo, writer, director. Beast from Michael Pierce, writer, director, and Lauren Dark, producer. A Cambodian Spring, Chris Kelly, writer, director, producer, all the hats. Peely from Leanne Wellham, writer, director, and Sophie Harmon, producer. Ray and Liz from Richard Billingham, writer, director, and Jacqui Davies, producer.
Good job with the pronunciation there.
I tried. I don't know if I got him right, but Beast, again, getting some love here. Beast, unfortunately, is the only film I've seen in that list.
And yeah, it's great for Beast. And again, like I said, a lot of people have been chirping at us about that, getting on that and seeing that, thinking it's awards worthy. And it's nice to see when your fans pick a dark horse early in the season and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about, and it actually comes to fruition. So good job by the listeners out there that did that.
Best cinematography at the BAFTAs, Mike.
Bohemian Rhapsody, Newton Thomas Siegel, Cold War, Lucas Zai, or is that Zal? Zal, let's say. Lucas Zal. The Favorite for Robbie Ryan, First Man for Linus Sandgren, and Roma for Alfonso Cuarón.
It's got to go to Cuarón, right? Unless the Brits really love their fisheye lenses.
Unless the Brits really love their movies. if they go Homer picks across the board, Favorite could clean up. So for me, it's between those two for the BAFTAs.
Yeah. Best Cinematography, Critics' Choice, Cuarón. If Beale Street Could Talk, James Laxton. Matthew Libatique from A Star Is Born.
That's a great name.
Rachel Morrison, Black Panther. Robbie Ryan, Favorite. Linus Sandgren, First Man. Michael, your pick?
Roma's won everything for
and
this award.
Cuarón's almost a prohibited favorite.
We said it at the previous pod, but it bears repeating, the second closest amount of wins in terms of critic awards for the cinematography category next to Roma's 29 is a handful of films who have all won one apiece.
Yes.
So this is Roma. A heavy, heavy favorite to win Roma cinematography.
Heavy favorite. BAFTA film not in the English language.
Capernaum, Cold War, Dogman, Roma, and Shoplifters. Dogman's the surprise, right?
Yeah, over Never Look Away and Girl from the Globes. Now, neither Girl and Dogman are in the Oscar shortlist.
Right.
So, you know, they're getting nominees. They're getting nominees elsewhere. There's outrage for Girl in particular. Dogman, an Italian film that's been on my list forever. I have to watch it soon. It's on VOD right now if you want to watch it.
No Burning.
No Birds of Passage, The Guilty, Never Look Away, Ica, You know, that kind of fills out your foreign film field there, Michael. Look at that alliteration. I'm in mid-show form right now. Michael, best foreign film at the Critics' Choice Awards.
Burning is back. Capernaum, Cold War, Roma, and Shoplifters. What do you think, Mike?
Roma.
This is why I hated it being nominated for a foreign film. Of course, it has to be Roma.
I can't believe I just did my sportscaster voice for best foreign film in the middle of it. But I did, and I'm an asshole.
Michael. Choose your spots.
Best original screenplay, BAFTAs, Cold War, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, and Vice. Cold War is a surprise there.
It's nice to see Cold War got a lot of love at the BAFTAs, and hopefully that maybe revives its Oscar chances. It's been a little dormant.
That was like a surefire Best Picture nomination, as well as a Best Foreign Film nomination at the Oscars for a long time on Feinberg Forecast. Everywhere it was being considered as a legitimate contender. Now they're kind of putting it in its lane for Best Foreign Film and not really giving it enough credit elsewhere as a crossover.
I'd love to see it come back for Best Picture, too. And I think it'd be important, too, to have not only two foreign films, two non-English speaking films, two black and white films. I think that'd be awesome.
That would be crazy. That would not go along the popular film imperative. Joanna Kulig, I wonder if her performance, we haven't seen it yet, if Joanna Kulig's performance is awesome in this wide open field for Best Actress, could she slide in? The Academy's done that before.
Sure.
Just look at last year with Phantom Thread.
Yep.
Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, there's absolutely precedent for it. But if she does take Toni Collette's spot, I will rage.
I think Toni Collette should be in the top four. Let's go. And let's have somebody else, you know, duke it out for the fifth
spot. Yeah, that'd be nice, but I don't think it's happening. Best Original Screenplay at the Critics' Choice, Mike.
Bo Burnham, Eighth Grade, Alfonso Cuarón, Roma, Deborah Davis, and Tony McNamara. We love them from The Favorite, Adam McKay, Vice, Paul Schrader, First Reformed, Nick Vallelonga, Brian Hayes Curry, Peter Farrelly, Green Book, Brian Woods, Scott Beck, John Krasinski for A Quiet Place. The Quiet Place makes me laugh because it's so high concept. Those guys worked for like 5 years on the script. I'm like, I want to be them, but I don't know if I like their script.
Interesting.
Like, I should love that script because it's like the most, you know, formulaic for screenwriters. Just old-fashioned hard work, networking, and they sold the shit out of it. Good
for
them.
They did. And it's, like I said, it's been a critical favorite all the way. My pick, however, is going to be The Favorite, which actually leads the field. First Reformed, it does make the cut here. It's been second place for the Original Screenplay Critics Circle Awards. I don't know what to make of that film.
I think The Favorite just feels like a critical best for me.
Yes.
It just feels like the critics will gush over that movie. I'm sticking to it.
Now, that said, we thought the same about the Globes, and Green Book came away.
True, true. Adapted screenplay from the BAFTAs, Michael.
Black Klansman for Spike Lee, David Rabinowitz, Charlie Wachtel, and Kevin Wilmot. Can You Ever Forgive Me? Nicole Hall of Center and Jeff Witte. First Man by Josh Singer. If Beale Street Could Talk, Barry Jenkins. A Star Is Born, Bradley Cooper, Will Fetters, Eric Roth. First Man got a nom there for the BAFTAs. That was nice to see.
It's awesome to see it there. It's awesome to see Beale Street here. I liked work that Spike Lee's doing. Nicole Hall of Center, a longtime fan of hers. So yeah, this is a cool category. It might have something to say. Critics' Choice, Best Adapted Screenplay, Michael. We have the addition of Ryan Coogler and Joel Robert Cole from Black Panther. And then the other five that we just mentioned, essentially. So it's the same five plus Black Panther. So my pick is still Beale Street, but I wonder if Black Panther's going to win something. There's a star-making performance in there. There's a screenplay moment that we gushed over. If it's going to win something, it's probably got to win adapted screenplay here if it wants to win it at the Oscars, Mike.
That would be huge. I don't think it's going to happen at the Oscars because I don't think the Oscars are going to give a comic book movie
adapted screenplay. Not yet. I don't think it's going to be able to do that yet.
I think it'd give it Best Picture before it gave it adapted screenplay.
Interesting.
I do think this might be a bit of an upset. I'm going with Black Klansman.
Okay.
If Black Klansman's going to do anything with its momentum, it has to show that it's a force in some category. It's got to win something. I think the Academy and critics love Spike Lee. I think they know he was uncrowned for his work in Do the Right Thing way back in the day.
Yeah.
I think they think it could be a Lifetime Achievement Award in a pretty crowded field. Yeah. So there's a precedent here. I mean, there is at least a storyline, I'll say, a narrative. And it has won, like I said, it's second to Beale Street right now in critics' circles.
It is insane that Spike Lee has not won an Oscar. It's a travesty. to be honest. He's one of our favorite filmmakers of all time, one of the best in our minds. We gushed over Do the Right Thing. We would gush over Malcolm X and many others. He Got Game is one of my favorite movies to this day. Oh my God, such a great
And it made money.
Movie.
Black Klansman for a Spike Lee movie made money.
I went to school in New York. I watched all the Spike Lee movies for 4 years straight. And essentially, I'm rooting for him always. I don't think this is one of his best films. I just don't. That's
you may not be wrong. That's a lot of, I've heard a lot of people say that, but again, kind of a wide open category. I think
a lot of good nominees too.
For whatever reason, I don't know why, but it just feels like Green Book winning the Globe. Didn't that feel like Barry Jenkins should have won that category if it was going to be win the Oscar?
Nobody in the Hollywood Foreign Press, maybe nobody at the BAFTAs, have seen If Beale Street Could Talk.
Yeah, that could be it, too.
And I think that's a factor. And my pick here is If Beale Street Could Talk because I think our critics have seen it, and I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah, could be absolutely on point there. Animated film for the BAFTAs, only three. Incredibles 2 from Brad Bird and John Walker, Isle of Dogs, Wes Anderson and Jeremy Dawson, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Bob Parachetti, Peter Ramsey, Rodney Roth, and Phil Lord.
So do we think these are the big three?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think without question.
And Critics' Choice, Best Animated Film, Michael, just add The Grinch, Mirai, and Ralph Breaks the Internet to Spider-Verse, Isle of Dogs, and Incredibles 2. What is your pick?
Still Spider-Verse.
Yeah, I think the critics are going to go for Spider-Verse.
I don't think it's having its legs taken out from it until Oscar Sunday.
Do you think it's going to be a late switcheroo?
I think it could be the Frozen Envelope 2.0, man.
Are you just talking yourself into this? Could you talk yourself into things?
I am convinced this is going to happen.
You might be right. I still think Spider-Verse is going to win, but we'll get there. Production Design, BAFTAs, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, Stuart Gregg, Anna Pinnock, The Favourite, Fiona Crombie, Alice Felton, First Man, Nathan Crowley, Kathy Lucas, Mary Poppins Returns, John Myrie?
Probably Meyer.
Meyer? Oh, it's the BAFTAs.
Yeah.
It's right. Meyer. Gordon Sim and Roma's Eugenio Caballero and Barbara Enriquez.
I wish Harry Potter would just let go of that poor country and let them move on. The Crimes of Grindelwald.
All right, let's be honest, though. The production design is fabulous.
Okay.
There's a one. They're in like this. Oh, God, it's great.
Look at you.
No, I didn't love Grindelwald. I love the first 20 minutes of it. I was going to do this on next MMO Weekly. I hated the middle and I hated the ending. But there's a moment at the ending where I'm just like, wow, that's pretty awesome to look at.
All right, cool. I still think if that wasn't the BAFTAs, if it was like the Chicagoas, Grindelwald wouldn't hear its name.
You're probably right. Critics' Choice, Best Production Design, Hannah Beachler, Jay Hart, Black Panther, Eugenio Caballero, Enriquez for Roma, Coates and Basement for Crazy Rich Asians, Crombie and Felton for The Favorite, Crowley and Lucas for First Man, Meyer and Sim for Mary Poppins Return. So basically, add Crazy Rich Asians and Black Panther, subtract Fantastic Beasts.
Why isn't Crazy Rich Asians considered a favorite in this category? The more I think about it.
Because it's like On Location, right? I mean, I know the wedding.
The wedding's production design.
The party after is production.
That's what I'm asking. Like, the more you think about it, those things kind of stand out for me. Yeah. I don't think that's going to win. Mary Poppins had a lot of work in the production design, too.
They're copying a lot of production design from the first movie.
They are.
Is that why everybody's just like, tisk, tisk?
Points, yeah, sure. I think it's going to be Crazy Rich Asians is my pick. I think I just said I wasn't going to pick them, but I lied.
Yeah, The Favorite is for me. I think they're going to go with that. Even though that's On Location at this beautiful, gorgeous Downton Abbey type place that we just talked about in our review.
Yeah.
Tough to screw up,
probably, but we'll see. It could be either of those, and I wouldn't be upset, to be honest with you. BAFTA for Best Editing, as we move on here. Bohemian Rhapsody from John Ottman. The Favorite for Yorgos Mavropsaridis. First Man, Tom Cross.
The other Yorgos, Roma, by the way. I'm not letting you get away from that. Saridis.
Hugo?
Oh, I love the Greeks, but I can't say your names. I'm sorry.
Oprah, Uma. Yorgos. Roma from Alfonso Cuarón and Adam Goh, and Vice from Hank Corwin. So the BAFTAs give Bohemian Rhapsody an actor, editing, and best British film nomination, but not best film.
They have some self-respect.
Oh, God, okay.
No, they do. I hate Bohemian Rhapsody as a Best Picture nomination. It's not a Best Picture. It's a 50%er. It's a fine film. It's a C+, B-, fine time at the movies. It's not one of the top 10 films of the year. You idiots. Had to do it.
You went purple.
I had to do it. It's not one of the top best films of the year.
Wow.
That's a great performance. It's not a top film. There's major problems with that film. Listen to our review. Enough, people. And the BAFTAs, it say so.
You know that song Lady in Red? You're like, man, my with face red face.
You're right, but now we have to recontextualize the whole argument and actually consider Bohemian Rhapsody as a top 10 film of the year. It's not. Yeah, it's not in my top 70.
You're absolutely right. You know I agree with you.
I've seen 240 male movies this year. It's not in my top 70. It's probably in my top 100. Well, it's not there.
So listen, to calm your fears, it's not nominated in Critics' Choice for Best Editing. Jay Cassidy for A Star Is Born, Hank Corwin for Vice, Tom Cross for Man, Alfonso Cuarón, and I'm going again for Roma, Yorgos again for The Favorite.
Best Editing, Michael, just pushed me over the top
Joe
today.
Walker and Widows, there is, like we always talk about, a link between editing and Best Picture. There is. But there is no Bohemian Rhapsody. Bohemian Rhapsody's editing good enough for the BAFTAs, not good enough for the Critics' Choice nominees.
I just have that in my back of my mind. Editing equals picture, right? Best Picture
There's
from
editing. There's
definitely
a correlation.
There's a correlation. So
but it's
this
at
one,
the Oscars as well, not necessarily at the precursors.
This
so.
One threw me over. My pick, anyway, if anybody can make two cents of that, is Roma.
I think your pick was First Man, actually.
My pick is First Man. Your pick.
My pick was Roma.
Is Roma. I'm reading. We're both named Mike, so sometimes it gets confusing. I'm still red, and my blood is up.
No, it
my blood
be.
Is
no,
up.
No, that was a well. If listen, if you're gonna flip out about anything in this Oscar season,
it's Bohemian Rhapsody.
From stuff we've said, it's either Bohemian Rhapsody or something about Toni Collette.
You'll have your flip out coming. Costume design,
like once an episode.
From costume design at the BAFTAs, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Mary Poppins Returns, and Mary Queen of Scots. Again, no Black Panther here, Michael.
No Black Panther. Weird. I don't know that I can necessarily pick it. It's going to be The Favorite, right? It's just so heavily going to be The Favorite that I don't think there's anything.
You did it this time. You picked a BAFTA.
No, I didn't pick any. I'm just commenting.
You just said The Favorite.
Yeah, well, that's why I think I can't be
you
outraged. All right, fine. I picked it.
I would pick it too, probably. The stitching,
it says,
Michael.
Gone off the rails. Critics' Choice for Best Costume Design, Alexandra Byrne for Mary Queen of Scots, Ruth Carter for Black Panther, Julian Day for Bohemian Rhapsody, Sandy Powell for both The Favorite, and Mary Poppins Returns. Again, I think this is The Favorite's category.
Sandy Powell had a year.
Yeah, she was designing all those dresses.
The Favorite's going to win. There's a lot of great dresses there, and I'm not a dress guy, or maybe now I am after Phantom Thread.
Well, we're both wearing
Paul
one right
Thomas
now.
Paul
so.
Thomas, okay. Makeup and hair at the BAFTAs, Bohemian Rhapsody, Mark Coulier, Jan Sewell, The Favorites, Nadia Stacy, Mary Queen of Scots, Jenny Shercor, Stan and Ollie's Mark Coulier. I'm pronouncing him like the Full House guy, I think.
I was just going to say, what if it was Dave Coulier that did the makeup on Bohemian Rhapsody?
Jeremy Woodhead, also from Stan and Ollie. One did Stan, one did Ollie. Vice nominees, TBC?
What is hey, Remy, cut it out.
Yeah, that's the worst joke still. Michael, Critics' Choice Hair and Makeup, while you laugh, Black Panther, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Mary Queen of Scots, Suspiria, and Vice.
Nice to see Suspiria make the cut there.
Nice to see it. Black Panther ignored at the BAFTAs yet again in the Critics' Choice once
yes.
more.
Yeah, so it does get some recognition there. Like I said, there's 11 nominees for Critics' Choice. It has to walk away with something. Bohemian Rhapsody, you could absolutely see hair and makeup winning this. I think The Favorite as well. Mary Queen of Scots getting in for both makeup and hair and costumes.
I love the makeup and hair for Bohemian Rhapsody. That might be a sleeper win for Bohemian Rhapsody.
How can you pick it over Vice?
Yeah, you can't pick it over Vice. Even Lin Chaney, I just watched Vice again the other night. Lin Chaney's hair, her wigs, it's brilliant.
Uncanny. Really, really great job with the makeup there.
And they have close-ups.
Yeah.
All day of Christian Bale.
Talking out of the side of his mouth with that look and that bald look. Oh, man, it's unbelievable.
It's pretty good. I would argue it's probably better than The Darkest Hour. The jowls last year didn't move. Their immovable jowls.
You might be right.
I think this
you
is
might
better.
Be, that's a good conversation to have.
That's a debate we will have. We will devote a three-part series to that debate. Michael, original music at the BAFTAs.
Black Klansman for Terrence Blanchard. If Beale Street Could Talk for Nicholas Britell. Isle of Dogs for Alexander Desplat. Mary Poppins Returns for Mark Shaiman. And A Star Is Born, Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga, and Lucas Nelson. What does original music mean? So, like, the soundtrack?
I don't know.
Not the score, or is the score
I think it means
included?
The score.
So then, where's Justin Hurwitz?
And where's Black Panther?
First Man? And where's Black Panther? And where's many other worthy nominees?
I didn't do enough research for this one.
I couldn't find anything, and I didn't care to look it up, to be honest with you, because it's we're pretty far down the list. We're on page 17.
It was a 17 pager today for you folks. Several freakouts in Critics' Choice Best Score: Chris Bowers, Green Book, Nicholas Britell, If Beale Street Could Talk, Alexandre Desplat, Isle of Dogs, Ludwig Göransson, Black Panther, Justin Hurwitz, First Man, Mark Shaiman, Mary Poppins Returns.
First Man for me.
First Man has been winning them. I picked If Beale Street Could Talk.
You love Beale Street. You really do. You got him out a couple times on this one.
I do. Best Sound at the BAFTAs, Michael. Bohemian Rhapsody, First Man, Mission Impossible, Fallout, A Quiet Place, A Star Is Born.
I love that Mission Impossible Fallout's getting more than just, you know, best action movie. That's nice to see.
Right, that's cool.
A Quiet Place, people love the sound of it.
We had A Star Is Born and First Man. We talked about it in the other pod. They're kind of favorites for editing and mixing right now. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. I wonder who will take this, because that might say something.
Go on to special visual effects for the BAFTAs. Avengers Infinity War, Black Panther, Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald. Here's its name again. First Man and Ready Player One. Black Panther is maybe the story here. Avengers, for me, is a story as well. Nice to see two Marvel films actually get recognized as the best visual effects.
I love the visual effects. Infinity War.
Leave it to the BAFTAs.
First Man, they're good. Black Panther, they're good, except for one scene that bothered me, and I can't help myself.
Critics' Choice, Best Visual Effects, Avengers, Infinity War, Black Panther, First Man, Mary Poppins Returns, Mission Impossible, Fallout, and Ready Player One. A lot of similarities there between the CRAFTAs. Combine them for
me. CRAFTAs.
Critics' Choice and BAFTAs. What's your pick there, Mike?
Oh, this is tough. I just, reading the tea leaves and what people have been picking, I'm going to say Ready Player One.
Yeah, the history of this award, I looked up, and it seems to reward practical effects mixed with visual more so than just straight-up green screen stuff.
All right.
So I'm going Mission Impossible
Fallout. You did some research.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
But why
only
would you go
on best visual effects, though.
Okay, but were there any visual effects in Mission Impossible Fallout? Aren't they all practical effects so that First Man should win here by your rationale? Pause.
Don't use my logic.
I think that's what happened by your logic.
Best original song is the next category. All the stars in Black Panther, Girl in the Movies for Dumplin', I'll Fight for RBG, The Place Where Lost Things Go, Mary Poppins Returns. That's a terrible song. I don't like it at all. Shallow, A Star Is Born, and Trip a Little Light. Fantastic, Michael. Our final category. You just saw my pick?
Yeah.
My pick is Venom by Eminem.
Very good.
I picked up Venom.
I don't even know that song really that well. I just heard people make fun of it. But yeah, Shallow is my pick. It's everybody's pick. It's your pick.
Of course it is. This is the, again, bet your house on best original song, but we don't refund you if we're wrong.
Now that felt like the longest pod ever, but was it the longest pod ever, Mike?
No, we're under an hour still, baby.
Oh my God, we were cooking. But that's like a lot in a short amount of time.
Well, the Critics' Choice is 25 categories for movies.
Well, we pretty much covered them all,
I think. Yeah, we did. And that's why, this whole idea of expanding the Oscars and getting it longer, yeah, we'd like to see more awards added, but it's already a four-hour program. They're trying to cut it down to 3 hours. True. Adding more categories is going to be tough to see. I still think it's going to benefit by seeing a best comedy or a best action movie, something like that, and best stunts, best casting, those types of things. But that's a conversation for another day, as what's on the immediate horizon is the Critics' Choice Awards on Sunday. We have one more OSP this week coming out for you, so stay tuned for that.
Mm-hmm.
Go get caught up on what happened with all the guilds in our Golden Globes Fallout episode that was just released a couple days ago. You got this one to go forward to. Maybe if you have a Critics' Choice pool at work, you can now win it or lose it horribly if you go by my picks and not Mike's.
I don't know. I went with the associations pretty much today.
You did. And I thought about doing that, and then I thought, let's just do stupid
things. We're rookies. We're predicting these awards, so
yes,
take us with a grain of
salt.
Don't lose your mortgage payment on our Critics' Choice nominations.
Just do it and don't be a wimp.
I think you should, use some, what is it? What is the word for gambling? Abstinence is the wrong word.
I wouldn't know. I'm not familiar with any of it.
Restraint, I guess I'll say again.
Not in my vocabulary.
Okay.
Yeah, is those your final words of wisdom, Michael?
Yeah, use some restraint. Don't bet your money on the Critics' Choice Awards. I can't even find odds.
I was going to say, if you find a book that'll take your Critics' Choice bets, let me know. Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on the Twitter machine, Mike and Oscar at gmail.com.com, and on Reddit. We are available everywhere you do hear podcasts.
We're covering the hell out of this race this week. A lot happened. We covered it. We did it in Auctioneer Voices today, sans freakouts. We did it.
Not even close to done.
Not even close. Just getting started.
Guys, reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us. We will check you out next time.
See ya.